Dear people, will you please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. I would like to read verses 5 and down to and including verse 9. So follow along in your Bibles as we read Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 5 and ending with verse 9. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set upon the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, but it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. I would like to preach the gospel from this particular passage, but only looking at not even an entire verse, but just a phrase of that verse. And we will find that in verse 7 and the beginning part. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. You know, on this day, it is our desire that we would preach the gospel and that the gospel will be aided by the Holy Spirit to go in the hearts of those who are not saved but outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know we have several of you here. There may be some adults here, and I know there are some, if we want to call them young adults, here. And surely we have children here that are not in Christ Jesus. So the preaching of the gospel today is something that is upon this church's heart, that God may by his own power and mercy draw you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this particular passage here, the mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God, is a very important passage because it shows us, as Paul does in this particular passage, read to you from 5 down and including 9, shows that there are two kinds of people in the world. And I would go into, at the end of this, I want to put them in two particular categories. But as we begin, there's something I want you to think about, and that is, there is a main issue that man must ponder, and that is the existence of God. Every one of you in this place right now, you must ponder that issue. If you feel that you're too young to ponder it now, you need to ponder it now because later on you're going to have to take it up. This is not something that you can put out of your mind and say that I can live my life and do not worry about God. Each and every one of you must deal with it. Each person must consider how he or she are dealing with God and with himself or his or herself. Who is he? That is, who is God? Who is he to you right now? Is he just a passing fancy that you heard? You hear adults speak of that, but you need not worry about it? Or is he someone that is important to you, that you must deal with him, and do you think about him? Now, the Bible teaches us that every person will give an account of his or her life to God. You may believe right now you don't have to worry about it, but you will have to worry about it one day. You're going to face God, and you're going to have to deal with him, and he will deal with you the way he sees fit. Now, one lives while in his life reframing himself and not even actually finding himself, not even thinking about God, won't define God. He won't deal with God. He won't even say that he is one who is truly must be obedient to God. Now, how one lives even defines his eternal state. What is it going to be for you and when it comes to the end of your life? Those who are saved will be with God for all eternity. But those who are not saved will be cast out of God's presence for all eternity. And we know that to be is to be cast into the depths of hell. Now here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 to 9, it gives us a picture, as I indicated, of two kinds of people. Now I will preach the gospel from that first portion in verse 7. And the first thing I want to do with you, I want to define the doctrine here that we have. The verse or the phrase is pretty concise. The mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. And I believe in explaining this, each and every one of you here, if you say you are not a Christian, you don't desire Christ, this very passage or this phrase tells you who you really are. The mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. Now, the mind here is that it's not just your mental faculties, but it's the mental faculties that which now has its very object and attention of its desires, and that is to be pleased by everything in this world. The thing that the heart is set upon and what things their lives are surrounded about, what are they devoted to? And I could say it, and I don't mean to mean any harm to anyone in this place, as far as you young ones especially. Some of you show clearly that your heart is set upon, and you are devoted to little gadgets that shows little games and all kinds of things that takes up all the hours in a day that you can even find. You would do all you can to stay on a little gadget, a little electronic things, and that's it. And your mind is set on that. It may be set on not just the gadget itself, but everything or anything that you pull out of that. It catches your attention, and it keeps you there, and you cannot set your mind on anything else. And then outside of that, your mind may be set upon the things that make you happy. What things do you want in this world, this life, and what things do you think please you? That's it. Your mind is set on that. Now, the word set here that the apostle used means to be settled, fixed upon. I can remember in the times gone past, and you probably, they might say it today, it is. He is dead set on being a doctor. He is dead set on going to the NFL. Or he is dead set to have fun at the party tonight. It is his determination, what he wants to do. Everything in it. The mind is determined as far as the flesh is concerned. Now, the flesh here we know in the scriptures, it also means basically our body. But here it means carnality. It means the very thing that is in us, the sinful nature. Sinned against God in the garden. And when he sinned, all of us who were brought into this life, we came into life sinners. And so we have one concern, the pleasure of our nature, the pleasure of what we want. And so it says, it's set on the flesh, pleasing ourselves, doing everything we want. And so Paul says here, the mind set on the flesh. That boy, girl, man, or woman, is all he or she thinks about is what things I can have in this life. What is going to please me? What's going to make me happy? And as I look around to some of you, came into my mind some of the things as children you wanted and you didn't get it. That face got all frowned up and you start crying and begging and kicking to get that. But guess what? Even where you are in your age right now, you do the same thing, but not outwardly. Inwardly, you cry and beg and kick for that thing that'll make you happy. You turn against mother and father, siblings, it doesn't matter. This is the one thing I want. Grown men and women do the same thing. Psychologists were dealing with a woman, or remember reading some of the stuff and how to counsel people. And this one particular aspect was that this woman, she would actually, when she would ask her husband to do this or that, and he would say no to, she would run in the bedroom and throw herself down on the bed, having an adult tantrum. Her mind was set on the one thing, and that's what she wanted. But here's what the apostle says. Now, the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. Hostile means the characteristic of an enemy. It's one who is now, she is unfriendly, will not do anything of God. God becomes the opponent. God now says, that one says, I fight against God. Now, you sitting here this morning, you'll probably say, well, I don't fight against God. But yes, you do. Yes, you do. If you're told to do something even by your parents and you don't do it, and you understand, those of you who are born up even from family in this church, you know to be those who are disobedient to God is to sin, to your parents rather, is to sin against God. So you are hostile. You do everything you want to do out of earshot or eyeshot of your parents, which they told you not to do. You get away with it all because you believe that no one knows about it. But you forget the idea that because mom and dad doesn't know it, God, he does know it. And your hostility is worse. It is not just against your parents, it is against God. The hostility is directed to that one. It's directed toward God. All sins you commit, it is actually ultimately directed toward God. The mindset on the flesh is hostile towards God. The doctrine of this phrase is found in the passage beginning in verse 6, going down to 9. What we see here, there's two kinds of people, as I indicated to you. There's one who the mind is set upon the Spirit, and therefore he or she lives according to the teaching of God. But the one set upon the flesh does not want to be bothered with God. Notice verse 7 if we read the entire verse. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. It will not say, here is God's law, I need to follow it. It will not say, I will become obedient to what God says to me. I don't care what mom or dad tells me. I don't care if they read, open the Bible and read to me, thou shalt not, I am not doing it. This is what the apostle says. But he says now there's another aspect, the mindset on the Spirit. So he's telling us there's two kinds of people in the world. He speaks of two. There are those who have their mindset on the flesh, and there are those who will not follow God, and those set on the Spirit. Let me at this point say this. The one set on the flesh is unconverted, sinners, non-Christians, wicked ones. Those set on the Spirit, they're converted, saved. They are Christians, and they do what the Bible tells them, and they follow. So from here, we can say there are two kinds of people. Sitting right here now in this small building, we got two kinds of people. Now, I look at you. I see different size, shape, ages, and everything. But you know what? All of you fit in one of two categories. One or two. Either you have your mind set on the Spirit, or you got your mind set on the flesh. Now, you know who you are. And at this point, all of us here, we pretty much know who you are also. But you know, you cannot wiggle out of this. You cannot be the worm and go crawl into a hole and hide yourself so nobody really knows. You know. You probably did things last week, this morning, to prove that you are the one who are hostile against God. And so I want you to think about who you are. Don't play with yourself. Don't think that you can get away. I'm all right. Everybody does it. You need to deal with what God says. And the reason why you need to deal with what God says, because this is actually something that focuses and brings you right to your dealing with God. The mindset on the flesh is hostile, is an enemy of God. But I think that second point, we need to deal with that. God. I was listening to someone, I can't believe, remember how long ago, maybe a week and a half or 2 weeks, and basically this person was getting, he didn't get irate, but he was saying to just take the word God. And he's saying something about how others, they don't follow the Ten Commandments, they may call God out, they say, but actually what they do, they are basically abusing God, they're misusing his name. But the idea of when you find with the scriptures, everything that's called God is not great Jehovah God. Man has his own gods. Jesus says there are gods. Paul says there are other gods who they serve these sacrifices to in their very worship. But there are no gods. There is only one God. And some of you right now, you will get into your mind that God, and that word, what it means, it can mean whatever I want it to mean. We live in a society now that your God is just as good as the God of the Bible. Whoever he may be, or in some cases, even now, whoever she may be, doesn't matter. God to you is whatever it is to you. But the scriptures tells us there's one true living God. So I believe when we come to this, we need to say and make you understand who God is. It is a very important, I believe, even when preaching, to tell people you need to go to Christ Jesus. God is the one who's going to pour out sin, his wrath upon you. You need to know who God is. Because the world uses the word God does not mean we all have the same idea of God. Some of you, you're in middle school now, maybe in high school, you come out of school, you've heard out there in the world all kinds of things of what God may be. And what God may be to one person, and you may have drank at that well of idolatry, and therefore you say, you know, what they teach in the church about God, you know, I don't think it's that important, as long as you just worship God. How about this? How many times you've heard, even in churches, all roads lead to God. And they take some kind of side road, they take a road through wickedness or whatever, take a road through idolatry, as long as you're speaking about God, you're going to get to him. That's a lie. That's a lie. And I want you to understand that even now. So who is God? Well, we know as we turn to the scriptures, and I can just tell you this, God is the one who created all things. In Genesis chapter 1, we find that God himself, he's the one who spoke into existence all that we have around us right now. The very globe that we are on, he said it, and he brought it into fashion. He said, let there be light. He spoke, and we find birds in the air, the light that we have, fish in the sea, animals upon the face of this globe. And he even said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. God is the one who created all things. He is the God we're speaking about. When Christ, when Paul says here, the mind set on the flesh is enmity or hostility to God, he's speaking of the great creator of all the universe. God also is the sovereign God, meaning that he is the God who rules. He is the one who says what is to be. He rules over all his creation. He controls the world, the seasons, cares for the animals. Job tells us how God, in that book, tells us how God says he's the one who feeds the lions. He's the one who causes the rain to fall and snow on the caps of the mountains and in the springtime to melt and come and it fills up the stream so you and I have water to drink. He is the God, the one who watches over man, appoints man to where he is. Paul says in Acts chapter 17, he made all men from one blood, and he's the one who determined where they will live on the face of the earth. This is the God that we're talking about. We're not talking about a God that you can fashion, you can set him up, tear him down, or you can say to him, I don't want to listen to you now. You cannot use this God for a pawn. He is a God you must submit yourself to. And he is a God and says he's a judge of all the earth. The Old Testament tells us that he judges nations. He sets a king up and he takes one down. God is not somewhere in the sky sitting back and everything is going on as he wants to go and he has nothing to do with it. One man says he has his fingerprint on all of society and all this world, all his creation. God is active. And he's the very God that comes now, and he governs the nations and each and every one. He's the one that will treat and bring that for the judgment against those who are in sin. Read your Bible sometime. Read in the Old Testament, coming up even through the prophets. What do you find? This God is not one who is happy with what goes on. Man just doesn't live the way he wants to live. And God says nothing is wrong with that. You know, you're just a man. You don't believe in me, so do whatever you want to do. No, I will judge you for your misdeeds and your sins. This is the God we're speaking about. The God of the Bible is a merciful and just God, even in fact of all that, dealing with sinners according to his life, that is the sinner's life, and his sins. He will deal with you. He will make sure that you will feel the wrath of his very displeasure with you and how you live. God is not sitting on the side somewhere. Every one of you right now, I want you to know, God is looking straight into your eyes. He's looking into your heart and who you are. He's dealing with it. You can close your eyes. You can try to even turn your head from me as I'm preaching, but you cannot hide from God. Amen. And God's going to deal with you. So that's the God we're talking about. The mind of the flesh, mind is set upon the flesh, is hostile to God. What God? The true and living God, the sovereign God, the God over providence. What I mean by that, God is the one who determined how and who you are right now, what family you are born in, what things you'd be getting right now. The fact that you even find yourself in comfort right now is because of God. Yes, and still, there are some of you who set your mind to be in hostility. God is your enemy, but God is really basically dealing with you in such kindness and mercy. But thirdly, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. And you know what? That's what you are saying too. There is no God. Now you may say at times in the back of your mind, there is this battle that go on, that there is must be a God. I've been taught so much, but you are still fighting the best you can to keep this truth out of your mind. The fool has said in your heart in Psalm 14:1, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are, and here's what the psalmist says, they are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. They are the ones who now look at God and they say there is no God because they don't want to serve this God. This voice means actually the fool says, no God for me. Not me. I do not bow to God. I don't want to have nothing to do with God. He says there was no way in the world that he would find himself coming and serving God. I'll serve an animal before I serve God. And some feel just that way. And as a matter of fact, some are doing that. They come and they call themselves the good guys of this, our very creation. Like under the title of maybe environmentalists, I will hug a tree. I will serve the animals before I serve God. I'm going to do all I can to make sure I can help, make sure all in this world is taken care of. But forget about man and what he deserves from the very commandment of God. Over in California, they save a fish and let man die. Because they won't let the stream be opened up to water the crops. So people, me and you and those like who have to eat, they want to save a little minnow. And this is what the environmentalists do. Their God is the creation rather than the creator. Their God is all the animals and everything else. And they believe there's more in the environment that they're, and put man last. Now there is a care of the environment that we as men are supposed to have. God gave us dominion over all things, but not to the expense and life of man. It's for the good of man. The mindset on the flesh, we say, is hostile towards God. They will not, and they say this, I will not consider God worthy enough for me to recognize him. I ask you here, sitting here, is that you? I will not consider God worthy enough for me to recognize him. And I believe there's some in here that thinks just that way. No, I don't want to hear it. I'll go on my way. All that people saying of him, all that the Bible teaches about him, I don't believe it. He is nothing to me. I will not worship him. I will fight against him. And guess what? In your heart, you're fighting against him right now. You're saying, oh, preacher, please hurry up and get finished because I don't want to hear nothing about this God. The mind set on the flesh is hostile against God. The person that lives for this world, he makes his desire of life all of his attention and lives only for his pleasures and his corrupt or his sinful nature. He says, for me, no God. Fourthly, it is foolish to be God's enemy. It's foolish. Now, those of you here who have not come to Christ and don't want to hear about Christ, I want you to hear this. It is foolish for you to make God your enemy. To take up a fight with God is the worst sin that can be committed. The worst thing. For you to think that you can now handle yourself against God. That you can now find yourself, if God says to do this, and you can say, I'm not going to do it and will not do it. And guess what, God? Me and you are going to get in a nice arm wrestle. And we're going to see who's going to win this. There was a play on Broadway some years ago. Your arms are too short to box with God. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that you could say to yourself that, you know what? No God, and I don't want to have nothing to do with him. I'm going to fight against him. To fight God is like being mad with air that sustains life. I'm breathing in. You're breathing in. I hate this air. I wish this air would get away from me. Well, what's going to happen if it does? It is like hating your blood. When all that blood does, it supplies the oxygen to your brain, supporting the functions of your entire body. And you say, I hate blood. I don't want this blood in me. That doesn't make sense, does it? You don't say that either, do you? It is like fighting your leg. These legs keep helping me to walk, and I'm a fight against them. Cutting off your hands. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't, does it? The function of the body supports your life. God is the giver and a sustainer of your life. You sitting here right now who know and says that I don't want God, you are living because of the mercy of God. Your body is functioning because God is allowing it to function. You are not now walking around with the brain aneurysm or something because God's mercy. Your legs are still able to move you about because of his mercy. Oh, sometimes if you go someplace where babies are born and they're born in some way deformed and you look at them, it'll make you cry because of how these young ones come into the world, not by their own fashion, but not by what they have done. It's because of the fact that maybe something the parents have done. A lot of disability has come because of the horrible use of drugs by the parents. But God is the one who says, and nobody, not too many like this, he says to Moses, who made the blind? Who made the hearing? Is not I the Lord? Who made your mouth? Moses said he couldn't speak well. God says, I'm the one in control of all things. And so you cannot say that, you know what, I don't want to have nothing to do with this God, because this God right now is even being merciful to you. Walk down Broadway or some streets here in Newark and look at some of the people who are homeless walking around. Some of you need to go to a place where they have nothing. And you have more than you need. You have choices because of the kindness and the goodness of God. And yet you say, I'm going to fight against him. What fools you are. How foolish you are. How can you do such a thing? God is the giver and the sustaining of life. In him we live and move and have our very being. See, it's not just the fact that God gives and makes available to you those things. God is the one who is so close to you. He is the one allowing you to continue to live. God can say right now that he's going to step back and nothing else is going to go to you. God made man in his image and according to likeness, and you can't get away from that. You can't say, God, I no longer want to be made in your image and likeness. Therefore, today I'm going to be a frog. Well, if you do, something's wrong with your mind. But you are made in the image and likeness of God. The mindset on the flesh, your own desires and pleasures, and will not acknowledge God as your creator. And the one who deserves your obedience and worship is the grossest of sins. You look at yourself and you say, here I am in good health. How come I'm in good health? You did everything right? No. You know, they tell us, you look at the TV and they tell us all the things that you can be a much better person, have a much better image. If you do this, you do that, or take this miracle drug I have. And no different now today than it was back in the 1800s when you had the guy come along and he had to. Oh, one for all cure. It cures everything. It's in this bottle. Drink this little stuff, and that's it. God has given us everything we need upon this planet for good health. If we find ourselves doing what we ought, we'll find that was all we have to do. But see, the mindset of the flesh is hostile against God. Hostility toward God or to make him your enemy is sin. Understand that. It's sin. You must understand, if you are against God, you are committing a horrible sin. You have decided to fight against God, who takes care of you, provides life and health, the one who watches over you every day, allowing you to travel from home and back again without harm, allowing you to even exist today. You woke up by the mercy of God. You are sitting here right now in your right mind by the mercy of God. It's a horrible sin for you to say, I'm going to fight God. And furthermore, a separation from God is sin. To even say that, God, you stay over there, leave me alone, don't be bothered with me, I'm over here. And I separate myself from you. To even think that you can exist without God is not only foolishness, but it's sinful. If you did separate yourself from God, you would find you wouldn't last a day. You may say, I can go on. And you may say in your mind, I can separate myself from those who I don't like. But when you portray that onto God, that is the height of foolishness. You can think, well, you know what? I can exist without my mother and father. I can exist without siblings. I can exist without any person in this world. But you are unable to exist without God. And this is the horrible part. You fight with God, and you are unable to do anything with him. But here is what the scripture is saying. This is you. This is your situation. Sin makes you war with God. And to war with God is even worse than all of it. You know, there's some cases where you put on a human level. If you don't like somebody, you can kind of like just stay away from them, and that's all right. On a human level. But when you don't like somebody, and every time you see that person, you're going to try to do something to hurt or to make a discomfort, that is horrible. Some of you children know about that, the bully on the playground. When you go there and you see him or her come, try to go another way, because you don't want to come in contact with this one who is not going to do anything but fight against you. And that's what you are doing. You're sitting right here in this place right now, and I'm not saying that because I know what's going on in your mind. I'm saying it because it's biblical. You fight God right now while he's talking to you. And that's when the real fight goes on. When you find yourself, God comes to you and he's showing you who you are, you take up your case and you fight against him. In your mind, you say, that's not me. Or you say, I don't care what you say. You fight him. Sin makes you go further away from God and won't allow you to turn to him. Sin makes you stand off. Sin tells you right now, it would be better to be out in that yard right there than to be here and listen to what I have to hear. Sin makes you unable to repent and come to God because it has you standing off. You see, it's the word of God that has to come to you, and the very one that makes you come. If you cannot repent, sin is the reason why. Some of you have said to us here in this place and maybe to your mother and father, you know, I do desire and want to go to God, but I can't do it. Well, your sin is keeping you back. You continually fight him. You must say, I want to go to God, but I can't. If it is your sin of hatred to God, you cannot do it. This is what is said here. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. You're unable to move. You're so caught in your sin. Your sin has you wrapped up. It's in chains. Jesus gave us some wonderful pictures in the New Testament and the Gospels of what sin really does for you. You know those pictures he gives us there? The blind man? He can't see? Well, that's you. Unless he touches you, you won't see. The one laid out in a stretcher, he can't get up and walk? That's you. Even the dead He has to come and raise him from the dead. Spiritually, you're dead. You can't do nothing at all. Now, here's what we find in the very thing we see here. The sinner, your situation is bleak. You are in a desperate place. A sinner, as a sinner, what you could do, the only thing can happen for you is that you will remain in that state if you continue to fight with God. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 1. Those who would not honor God, he gave them up. You are right at the precipice. What is God going to do with you even this very day? Is he going to say to you, I give you up. You want your sin? You're going to die in your sin. Or is God going to say differently, I will not let you die? You see, this is the case, dear friend. It's not something that you can throw in a category of philosophical thought. It's not something that you follow. It's a matter of life. You know, we go through life, we're going to do one thing or the other. Well, I can be a basketball player, or I can be this, or I can be an engineer. No, it's not that. You are desperate. You right now cannot do anything whatsoever. You see, what Paul does here, he shows us the case. The case is that you are an enemy to God. And he also says here, in that state of being an enemy, there's nothing you can do about it. Now, is that bleak or not? Put those words in another context. You have a disease, you're going to die, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's miserable, isn't it? That is misery at its worst. Where you are in sin, you fight against God, and there's nothing you can do about it. I hope that rings in your heart. And you say, and there's a desire, that there will be something different that takes place in your life. And I hope it rings, and you say, but I can't do anything. I can't do anything at all. Well, I think I'll stop right there. No, I won't. It wouldn't be good to stop here. I want you to see who you are. I want you to see who you are and how you actually live. You live battling against God. But is that the end of the matter? If there is, there's no hope for you. But see, there is a gospel of hope. Paul says here, it is Jesus through Paul, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. There is another side. There is another way, and that way is a way of hope. There is mercy extended to sinners, and this is the thing you must see. And I want you to turn with two texts with me as we finish this off, and look at Luke chapter 24. And here's what we do here, and here's what all those who love Christ and have a heart for sinners do. And we are told to do this, and this is what you must see, and this is what we hand out to you. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46, and he said, and that is Jesus, after he opened the eyes, he says, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. Here he says, this is what it is. Christ is the one. There is a way. There is hope for you sinners. And that hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you fight God and you fight his son also. But when you come to the place of seeing who you are and there's no hope and it's miserable to stay where you are, God says to us, preach the gospel. And you know what the gospel is? It's not that God look at you and he's going to throw arrows down on you, but it is the good news. Good news. Let me again put it back into the physical realm. A person goes to a doctor and says, look, there's nothing we can do for you. You're going to be dead in 2 or 3 months. And then you get a second opinion. And he says, no, we can work this out. You don't have to die. Good news. And that's what you would see. Christ is saying here, the word of God is saying here, yes, you are an enemy to God, but there's good news. God is the one who will change your state of an enemy and hostile against him. And he says, that's going to be because I sent my son. And he is the one who came and he suffered and died for sinners. And he was the one who went to the cross and from the cross to the grave. And he came out of the grave. And he's in heaven right now on the right hand of the Father. And so he says there now, he did this because so that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name. And this is what we do by the gospel. We don't care how bad you are. We don't care how mean you are. We don't care if God could say you are an enemy against him, and therefore what he's going to do is say, but look, I'm looking to you. I'm telling you, you can change your state of being an enemy against me. Look to my son, Jesus Christ. And all the sins, even the worst sin, and that is to fight with me, will be forgiven. Isn't that marvelous? We come almost to the idea of this when you take a person, and we see a lot of this in these days where we have those who are, you know, teenagers that grow up and they stop going to school, they stop doing the things, they fight against mom and dad, and then the father says the best thing to do is you got to go out on your own, live your own life. You go out there and he is full of all kinds of wickedness and sins and getting locked up and everything in the world, and he's now the worst guy in the world. But his father says to him, and he comes back and see and comes different, he says, I will forgive you. You cursed me. You did everything in the world. You dishonored me, but I'll forgive you. And this is what God is saying. You and your sins, yes, they are horrible, but God does not stand back and say, I will not forgive sinners. If you say now that you are fighting against God, you are the worst of sinners. And basically, mainly everybody who will not come to God stand back and fight him. And so therefore, but God says, here is the gospel. Here is the good news. Come to me through my son. Repentance and forgiveness for sins is now laid out before you. He tells you, and he's telling you right now, young man, young woman, little boy, little girl, man, woman, he's telling you through me right now, forgiveness of your sins is offered to the sinner. What are you going to do? I hate God, and I hate his forgiveness, and I won't have nothing to do with it. Is that what you're going to do? Or you're going to say, oh, God, in my misery, if you extend forgiveness and repentance to me, show me how to take hold of it. Help me, oh, God, to come to you through this. I don't want to stay where I am. I won't turn there, but the same thing you find in Acts chapter 26. He told Paul, he said, the reason why I call you is to turn them from darkness and unto light and forgiveness of sins. You are now living in a place of darkness. You live there because you think that your little world is all right. But oh, dear people, that is not the case. And let me finish with this very thought that goes to our minds. You know what? The sinner doesn't have a good way. It's said in the Proverbs, the way of the transgressor is hard. It's going to get harder and harder for sinners. And this proof of this, you find all around you. You find it in people. You look at those. The way of the transgressor is hard. Keep on sinning and watch what you're going to get. It doesn't mean only in eternity. Right now, your life can turn to a misery. You who are now the teenagers, you're getting close to being an adult, you should look at where you are. You should consider this because you keep on. You're going to go out into the world and you're going to be a horrible young man or young woman if you stay where you are. You should have the desire to say, Lord, if my life is going to be worth anything, I must and I cannot do anything but come to you and seek your forgiveness and ask that you would save me through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say, you know what, I don't care, God's going to say, I don't care. And I'll give you up. I'll give you up to your sin. And guess what? Your sin will destroy you. If it doesn't destroy you physically and take you out of this life, it'll destroy you and let you live this life miserably. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to stay where you are? I wouldn't be surprised if some of you, and I say this because I was a young man too, will walk out of here this afternoon or later on and get to prattin' about and say, you know what? I could box with God. And I could win. Horrible sinner. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. And the only way you can change it is to run to Christ. Let us pray.